Hello and welcome to Conversations with the Voice of Reason. I'm your host, Benjamin Boyce, and today's conversants are returning guests Sasha Ayad and Stella O'Malley, who are the hosts of Gender, a Wider Lens podcast, as well as practicing therapists / counselors who have been speaking to the gender issue specifically with regard to adolescence for almost as long as I have, with Stella even longer. And in this conversation, I kind of forgot we were having an interview. We're just having such a good time hanging out and talking about our journeys, gender and otherwise, through this world. So while this isn't the most essential conversation, it is the essence of the conversation. I know you're going to like it. Follow links to their work down in the description below. Without further ado, here is Stella O'Malley and Sasha Ayad. Stella, do you guys have taxes in Ireland?
Yeah.
Is it a total pain or is it just a breeze?
Taxes as in doing your taxes.
Doing your taxes, yeah.
Hell on earth.
Really? Why?
Why do you?
No. Everywhere is hell on earth doing
is
taxes.
Is it everywhere? So they know, yeah. It's just a scam. It's just a big scam.
Really?
I don't know.
They just make it impossible so you have a bunch of people that get to make money every year doing your taxes for you. So you're taxed.
It's kind of an amazing idea, though.
I like your...
You're in society and you're kind of half cavemen and you're thinking, well, why don't we put our money together and everybody puts something in every year and then we can have like a place for that turns into a hospital or a park or a school or a playground. It's a phenomenal idea.
Huh. It's not
Benjamin
how it happened.
Benjamin thinks it's a big scam.
No, it's not how it happened. There was these people who were stronger than everybody else and they like... Listen, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to use my strength, but you got to pay me back.
Yeah.
Those people we eventually called royalty and kings. And then eventually we had commerce and the merchants started making more money, got more powerful than the church and the state. And so the state had to like figure out a way to like suck the money out of everybody by promising them the stuff that was being built by the aristocracy anyways. Libraries, the churches held all the stuff, the roads, I guess, maybe roads. But roads were like, you pay your neighbor's pool to make roads. But
what's the alternative,
that was just this huge
boys?
Sprawling bureaucracy. Bureaucracy.
That's like when broccoli meets bureaucracy.
Broccolacy.
Broccracy. Hey, I like your background.
Broccracy, yeah. It's a little
yeah,
fancy.
Yeah, it's cool.
You want
it's
to see
really
what I got in,
yeah.
In Hawaii?
Right, oh.
What is that?
Is that just a butt?
Can you figure out what it is?
Yeah.
Is it like a bum?
100% I can figure out what that is, but where's the rest of the body?
No,
oh, wait,
what
is it
is
a
it?
Shoehorn?
It's a door stopper.
Great.
I put it here because so many feminists think I'm a misogynist, pig, rapist guy. So now I have a little booty.
Good for you.
Booty in the
good
back
for you.
So good for you. They're so awful to you, Benjamin. I hate the way they talk about you.
Oh man, you should see what they're doing to Leslie.
Oh, really? I saw that she posted something about that. I mean, of all the people, Leslie is just this. First of all, I love listening to you guys talk. I don't remember what you call your segment, but I love listening to it.
Oh,
it's really fun.
It's
and
a
she's
workout
just
jam.
Workout jam? No, I cannot listen to talking during workouts. That's terrible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
No, but I really enjoy it. And she's just this most thoughtful, calming,
yeah,
like sweet, intelligent, like very patient. I mean, God, like how could you attack Leslie? Anyway, that's nuts.
Why did they attack Leslie for daring to fall in love with you, Benjamin, is it?
When I'm out on the streets, I wave at beautiful women, or I want to.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And
that's
I admitted that to somebody, which means I'm basically on the verge of sexual assault at any given moment.
Rape.
And then, yeah. Yeah, basically. It's hand rape. I mean,
like, mind rape. Hand rape.
Mind rape. I'm raping you. I'm assaulting you both right now. I don't know. And then I made a joke about that, the front hole.
Did you?
Right, you know the
What's
joke.
What's the joke? Tell us the joke.
Well, if the gender-neutral term for a vagina is a front hole, is the gender-neutral term for a mistress a side hole? See, you're a
Sorry.
misogynist too. She just laughed. So she just laughed.
I didn't laugh because it's a terrible joke.
No,
Okay,
because it's a
good.
side piece. That's like a real term, a side
I get
piece. You
it.
know that. Oh, okay.
Side hoe. That's what they call it in the business. So what have you two been up to?
Wow, we've been
Nothing
busy.
really.
Sasha was in the New York Times today. You didn't
Oh, you
see.
were that
Yeah.
that piece.
Yeah, the side piece. No, it was a
It was
main
a
piece.
column. It was a main
No,
piece.
it was great. So Pamela Paul is a journalist who wrote a really extensive piece about youth gender medicine and detransition, and she featured myself, Stephanie Nguyen, Julia Mason, like several Paul Ryan Garcia, like lots of the
Wow.
colleagues and people we know who are working on this
Yeah.
issue. So it was really nice to see that piece in the New York Times. And our book was mentioned in the piece, which I was really thrilled about.
What was the take, the overall slant of the piece?
Was that what's happening in youth gender medicine in America is actually kind of this outdated experimental model of affirmative care, and that in Europe things are going differently, and that there's a lot of silencing and accusations against clinicians who are trying to work in an exploratory fashion. There were lots of angles that she covered, but that was the gist of it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And she featured lots of detransitioners, and they talked about their experiences and all of the kind of red flags that were missed when they were being assessed or kind of treated for gender dysphoria and just kind of ushered along the path. And if I'm missing anything, Stella, feel free to jump in. But that was like the important stuff that I remember.
And they mentioned therapy first and stuff. And like, well, Pamela Paul is good. So it's, I just wonder what's going down in the New York Times. Is there war before a piece like that?
Yeah.
Or are they actually trying to reverse slowly but surely? I wonder what they're actually doing.
Well, every once in a while they come out with a piece like this, right?
Yeah.
Like
Well,
about every
this is,
6 months or so.
yeah.
I think this piece, though, is the most accurate, non-biased version of a New York Times piece on gender that we have seen so far. I mean, I
So do I.
think this is a very different piece than what's, I mean, I'm very happy to see that they're covering gender with some nuance, but I mean, up until this piece, I have had lots and lots of qualms with the pieces they published before. Though I'm always glad to see progress. Like, I don't want to take that away
I
from
think
anybody.
each piece has been a step. It's been incremental. And
Yeah.
this is the biggest, and I presume the next one, maybe in 6 months, will be even big, you know what I mean? That they're slowly, slowly, slowly. But why are they going so slowly? I just like if they can publish a piece like that. And the, you know, Christina Jouett, she wrote a piece. There's been a few pieces, you know what I mean? But puberty blockers and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think Pamela Paul's done an amazing job. I mean, she
So do I.
really was not, she did not mince words. She was really clear. I think she did an amazing job.
It's been the best.
Well,
It's been the best piece.
an issue of this magnitude that incriminates and opens for like major malpractice suits for a lot of places. Like, if this just came to a screeching halt, there would be big trials, I'm sure. Like it would be so big, everybody would be caught with their pants down. I think the signal is like they're slowly signaling, okay, start backing out, start backing out. And there'll be a critical mass of people like just distancing themselves. But because it was such a huge push and so many people went on board and so many people stake so much of their reputation on this under the cover of going along with the right side of history or whatever it is, in little ways or in big ways, that it's just it would be disastrous to the system, and the system's still not willing to admit what it did during COVID. And so
Yeah.
it knows the medical system is really on shaky ground with trust, you know, with the, all the COVID stuff, all that racism baloney, and all this
Yeah.
gender stuff.
And
So
what about, remember the opioid epidemic? I wasn't really following America at all back then. Was it similar to COVID, or was it similar to gender? Were there kind of people trying to speak up, or was it not noted?
It wasn't
Oh.
it. It did. I mean, it was like a crisis, but it didn't seem like to garner the sympathy of terrible, too ter terribly too many people, and so it was just kind of slowly just backed away from the system. Kind of just slowly changed course, and no heads were rolled. You know, like some mistakes were made.
The documentary series Crime of the Century is very good on the opioid epidemic. It's like this two-part documentary. I think each one is 2 hours long, but I remember watching
Really?
that with my mother, and I mean every 10 minutes I was like, "Oh my God, this is just like gender." Like it
Yeah,
was
yeah.
so shocking, the number of parallels. And then Stella, when we were in Ireland, or sorry, in Denver, we were all there. And Carrie Mendoza gave an amazing talk about the opioid epidemic. You just had her on, Benjamin. It was kind of a short interview, I think. But she laid that out very well. And there are so many parallels. So, like, I don't know if it garnered the kind of attention that gender is
And
garnering
yet,
now, but
Carrie
it
said,
is.
like, Harry said that she'd get into the car crying, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
distress, and that she had complaints. She was working in the ER, she's a doctor. She had complaints when she wouldn't give people opioids. They'd go straight to her superior. Sounded very similar.
And then up in Canada, they're not, I was a joke. Like, imagine a school counselor giving your kid OxyContin, right? And that's what Canada's doing. They're like, they drive around with these vans just handing out like safe drugs, safe supply drugs, and teenagers can get fentanyl now for free.
Are
So
you
it's like, it's all,
serious?
yeah,
I'm not
I just had
following that.
Jennifer on
Yeah.
it.
Know that.
So it keeps on
How
repeating, there's
is
something wrong with the entire system.
Yeah.
It's a systemic, like truly a systemic issue.
Yeah.
And you guys are both independent, right?
What?
You're independent.
Yeah.
Like, as in, like, Beyonce, like, independent? Like, that. What do you mean, independent? What do you mean by that?
I'm kind of like
like, well, there's clinical doctors and stuff, right? Who are like really a part of the system.
Oh, you mean like, do we work on our own, like in private practices? Is that what
Yeah,
you
so
mean?
you guys are able to like adapt a little bit more. Or question the prevalent
Oh,
orthodoxy.
absolutely. I mean, if I was working in a hospital system and I was supposed to be following whatever protocol they passed down to us, I would not be able to explore and look at things in a more nuanced, careful way. And also, we'd be probably, under managed care, which means you only have X amount of sessions for these clients, and you have to
Okay.
use like a manualized treatment method. Like, none of it would be possible. If only because I'm in private practice do I have the freedom and flexibility to think in kind of, I guess, like I would say, out of the box ways, or to initiate my own kind of curiosity about what works, what doesn't. Like, we have tons of flexibility in private practice.
I always say to parents who are looking for therapists, like, look for an independent one, an older independent one. You're most likely ha frankly, I've pretty much stopped telling people to look for therapists. I think a lot of kids are going to be sent to therapy when they don't need to be sent to therapy. But yeah, if at all possible, somebody older and somebody who's independent, they'll have the experience of their own knowledge of understanding because they've been seeing people for years, and they can do what they want because they're independent. Good near a clinic.
Same. It's hard.
It allows you guys also to exploit a niche market too, like with the whole gender stuff. I mean, you guys have found a lot of work to do that was opened up because of failures in the other parts of the healthcare, mental health care system.
Yeah. I mean, there's more work than we could ever actually tackle. And I mean, it's kind of interesting because, like, on one hand, yes, and Estelle, I don't want to speak for you, but it's like we also feel this really strong conviction that sharing information and helping to guide people who need support is important to us. And so I know that I have done a ton of work that is not really compensated for, like over the years of just putting out
Wow.
information, like the podcast and a lot of the things that we do. So when you say exploit the market, I mean, yes, we found a niche that is going to have a never-ending waiting list. And also, a lot of the work that we have done has really just been almost like a public service. And of course, I mean, my practice is full. Like I don't want to say that I'm not full, but I also have a very small caseload because I spend so much time doing these other things that frankly, there's not a lot of, financial compensation for.
Well, there's plenty of clout though, right? I mean, you're like a
Yeah.
meteoric rise of
Yeah.
influence, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so. What do you think, Stella?
I think, we could just see clients all day, but it feels like, and both me and Sasha have come to the conclusion, actually we could work more effectively a lot of the time with parents, and that we have parenting sites, both of us, because we're like, there's so many people left in the wilderness on their own with the stories we hear of therapists. I just, when I first heard them, I'd think, okay, that's awful, that's awful, that's awful. Now I'm just like, yeah, that's expected. And I'm talking really awfully, awfully high-handed therapists who are, alienating very vulnerable kids from their parents, and suggesting that their crazy gender identities that are like nobody's heard of, and just awful stories that I think, I hope we have clout. I hope people are listening to us, because we've put in the hours studying and figuring out what is going on and what could be, and trying to keep it like non-ideological and keep it kind of interesting, and making sure that we don't fall into another camp and pulling back out, and always thinking and thinking and talking and talking and testing our theories, and never coming down one way or the other, and constantly kind of leaving space for being wrong. And then always falling in with psychological insight as that's our profession. Thank God some of us are doing that, because so few are doing
Yeah.
it. It's frightening.
How's that working out for you? Be it centrist.
For
Be it,
me, well, it's.
yeah, non-ideological. Because doesn't that make it like you're not standing in the middle of the road, you're getting run over by everybody,
Well, I'm getting
right?
run over by everybody. There's no doubt about it. It's working out very badly. It's definitely a very unpopular stance to take. And I remember a politician saying to me years ago, we started a school together, me and the politician, and he said, and we were getting complaints from everybody, the parents, the teachers, everyone. And he said, well, if both sides, he said it very cool, like, well, if both sides aren't happy, we're doing something right. And I was like, really? I'm living that now. And I see what he means. Like, if both sides aren't happy, you're probably somewhere around the middle. You know what I mean? Feeding both sides.
Can I ask something about that actually? Because like, I mean, I've watched this particular kind of group come after Jen Specht on Twitter. And of course, I'm not behind the scenes at Jen Specht, so I don't know where else you guys are getting it. And it's such ridiculous accusations that are just like so weird. But like, are you guys at the Jen Specht like website, for example, at the Jen Specht email, are you getting like bombarded by criticism there? Or is it just on Twitter? Because like when you
Honestly,
say it's
I would
working
say,
out badly, I'm like, I think Jen Specht has given
yeah.
so much support and is this incredible resource. And I hear all the time from parents that say, if it wasn't for your
Yeah.
podcast and Jen Specht and Stella, like, so I'm just trying to figure out, is it just on Twitter that this
Just
insanity is
on Twitter, it's
happening?
laughable. I openly said, we've got no emails. When I spoke to Kelly J with the lovely
Oh,
Benjamin,
yeah.
let's talk about that later. When I said, we haven't got any emails, I thought we would be bombarded with emails. To this day, since the famous man in the blue dress, since all of that, one email, two emails, like literally, I'm like, tiny numbers. There's
Yeah.
been a couple of emails about they've decided, some people have decided it's really, really irritating because there's nothing, but they've some parents have decided that I think all boys are AGP. Now, you know, Sasha, like me and you talk about gender all day, every day. There's nothing in me that thinks that. There's nothing in me that's ever said that, but they've kind of come to the conclusion. There's so much, they're living in so many kind of conspiracies. They're
Yeah.
seeing conspiracies left, right, and center. But no, I don't know. Very, 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 very single digit, definitely emails. But I'm talking like two, three, maybe four. I don't know. Tiny numbers.
Yeah.
And thousands of tweets. Even today, I was in a conversation with Dennis Kavanagh and I think her name is Lucy Alcott or somebody like that. Anyway, and she was, we were just talking about, you know, something. And then they kind of screenshotted. These are all, you know, pseudo. They say they're feminists. They certainly don't treat me as a woman very well, and they don't let me speak. And they just rained on me because I said something about stereotypical. I said the stereotypical behavior of a female. Why does a gay man have stereotypical behavior of a female? I've never understood it. Well, I might as well have said I'm a paedophile. You know what I mean? There was an onslaught, people quote tweeting, look at this sick rubbish. How is she a psychotherapist? Her license should be taken away from her. And this is a safeguarding failure. Why doesn't she?
Wait, a safeguarding failure?
Yeah, a safeguarding failure. Yeah. But I said, why do gay men have often display, I didn't say I was very qualified, often display stereotypical female behavior. That's all. And it was a linguist who was speaking. She was in the conversation and she was saying that they actually do follow the female voice pattern. So it was kind of
Register, yeah.
interesting. And I was saying, why is that? I was genuinely interested. And it was like, Stella, the sick psychotherapist, take her license. These are all ostensibly on our side. Take her license, complain, safeguarding fail. I wanted to say, what's the safeguarding fail?
I had
Busta.
a similar thing. I had a similar thing. I think it Eliza Mondegreen posted this video of a young woman who was probably in her late teens with a shaved head and talking about the way she wears her clothes to give off like non-binary vibes or something like that. And she was, it was, you know, Eliza was right. She was like, it's kind of cringy adolescent like display of your clearly a kid who's maybe a theater kid, like very expressive, very smart, but like, you know, talking about like when I want to feel masked, I kind of walk like this. Like she's doing this whole thing. And, you know, I watched it and, you know, she said that she doesn't want to have surgery. And she said something like at the end, she was like, you know, if your body is more curvy and more feminine and you feel masculine, that's cool because you don't have to change your body to like express yourself. And I wrote something like, you know, I kind of love this. It's a, you know, teenage girl using clothing and posture and aesthetic
I
to
like it.
express herself and to kind of like play with her appearance and her style. Nothing new about that. And I think we should not mock her because, you know, yeah, maybe she'll cringe when she's like older or whatever. So anyway, I said, I think I kind of love this. You know, it's really cool. She's like showing, you know, people watching how to like use their clothes and posture differently. Anyway, somebody screenshotted that, retweeted it, and said, I something like, I am appalled that this supposed psychotherapist doesn't have better critical thinking and analytical skills, that this young woman is clearly confused about gender or something. And I was just like,
Everybody's an expert, aren't they?
yeah. And so, and she also said, like, this makes me concerned about safeguarding and her clients are all in danger or some shit like that. And I was just
Red
like,
flag. Red flag, Sasha.
yeah. So, I mean,
Safeguarding.
I do think there are a certain kind of group of people online who take things so literally that they don't even know how to read between the lines, how to think about context, how to think about the longevity of this young woman's life in the video. Like, what is the point? Like, is this a young girl, you know, in, you know, the fetal position, cutting herself and saying the only way to be happy is surgery? No, she's happy. She's ex like, she's expressive. Like, I mean, there's so much context that some people miss. And I do wonder if it's part of it is just that we're in this like very literal and text-based medium talking about things, but
It's a little more.
man, it's just ugh.
I wonder it's a little more because some people seem to search for a fight. I remember
Yeah,
one
yes.
woman telling me that she'd get up in the morning, and she was like very much, I don't know, she was gender critical, for want of a better phrase, and she'd get up in the morning and search with phrases, looking for the most egregious thing that a trans person has said, so that she could say, "Look at this. This is disgusting. Vomit, puke." And I was like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, that's what I used to do." She in the end she left Twitter. She said it would brought out this
Yeah.
awful person in me. She said, "I'd be literally on the motorway and I'd pull over because I have to say more." Like, she's
No.
just
Oh.
consuming me. And she said, "I was looking for a fight. I was looking for the most." And I think people that some people are doing that. They're, you know what I mean? That they're let's say you're in their line of fire or I'm in their line of fire, and they're like, they go straight in because another person took me up in the female stereotypical and said, "Why did you say effeminate? That is sick. I just don't understand." And it's like, "No, I didn't say
Sick.
effeminate. No, really, you are really, you make me want to vomit." Like, "No, I didn't say effeminate. It's literally the tweet above." Hello. And they were so cross-eyed with rage. They didn't even read it right. Yeah, I'm
What's
furious about that
the
though,
problem? Why is effeminate a slander?
but. Oh, it's probably a safeguarding flail. Red flag.
Okay.
It's probably the words of a rapist. I've no idea why effeminate is a bad word.
I can't wait till they
Well, I
take all
hadn't.
these clips with the word rape and pedophile and they're gonna make a nice little mashup, and then that's the end of our careers forever.
I'd love to know though what's the thing. I think it's something to do with tribalism, and you know, when you're in the tribe, you're just determined to pull down anybody who's slightly near the tribe. They particularly want to get those people rather than the enemy over the hill. They're not very interested in them. Freud called it the narcissism of small differences, as far as I remember, and.
Throughout most of my career, I've worked with adolescents, not so many adults, but I would guess if they're anything like the adolescents that I've worked with, the most meek and passive people in real life have the most egregious online personalities. So I do think that when you see people acting like that on the internet, can almost guarantee that like in their real life they really struggle with agency, they really struggle with asserting themselves, for standing up for themselves, and they feel like a victim because partially probably because of stuff that's actually happened to them, partially because of their personality, they haven't developed some robust ability to care for themselves and get their needs met or something. But I suspect that you'd see a huge discrepancy between how those people act IRL and online.
You're right. I had a meeting with a whole crowd of them about last year or the year before. Anyway, I went into it was in a pub in Dublin, and I went into it and I thought I was going to meet all these warrior women. They were all sheroes and you know that muscle thing and all those emojis. And I met such a quiet group of timid women who weren't speaking or and weren't really saying anything. And you know, no, you go ahead, and very timid, and I remember I left going, I was astonished at how witty and quick and sassy and ballsy they were online, the discrepancy with the real life. And I didn't have, fair play to you, Sasha, I didn't have your insight before. I thought I was going in to meet warrior chicks, and I walked away going, "Oh my God. That is shocking." But now I know them all a lot better, and I'm like, yeah, no, it's not.
Well,
They're frustrated.
there's crossover with one of your books, Stella's Bullyproof Kids, right? So, I mean, is there not similar behavior going on online and.
Massively. And they often say, you know, like I know quite a lot about bullying. They often say when you're dehumanized, and me and you, Benjamin, are close to it by certain groups, you'll never undo it. They will troll you for life. You know what I mean? They've dehumanized you, and that's it. It's you're forever polluted. They don't see you as a human. Same with children. I'm sure you will have seen it in school back when you were kids, that certain kids were pretty much dehumanized within the classroom. That was it. They were gone. You know what I mean? The ability for a human to rehumanize them is very, very difficult. And so I've been very conscious of that, so that I've been dehumanized by a group of women. And the trans activists, they don't come after me. They've given up on me. You know what I mean? They really don't do very much, while the women are furious with me, and they've dehumanized me, and they lie about me all the time and stuff. So it's a pretty uncomfortable place to be. And I have a friend actually who left Twitter. She left because of trolling. She was quite famous, and she left. She's Irish. And she left, and she's always telling me, get off it. It's just a really, really toxic place. You know, she's probably right.
I bet that's true.
The reality is, at least with the GenSpect conference, that there was so much stuff that went on there that got completely
Overshadowed. It
overshadowed
sucks. I know.
by this
It
one
was
little picture, whatever.
awesome, by the way. It was so cool to be there. Anyway.
What did you learn? Some of the things, Sasha, if you can remember
I
back and
have a
remember.
notebook like full of furiously scribbled notes, and actually I had a to-do list for post Denver of all these things, all these kind of like things I wanted to tie a bow on, because like make sure my understanding was there. I mean, there are so many things. I'm just going to share with you some of the highlights that are fresh on, not fresh on my mind, but like coming up. Colin Wright had an amazing presentation, and
I know.
something that he kind of pulled out that I had intuitively felt but didn't know how to articulate was something about models. And he talked about how in science, the model that is, I'm going to say this wrong, but kind of like the simplest, most straightforward way to explain something is probably the correct way to explain it. Whereas the more convoluted and twisted and bizarre and complicated some model is to understand, the more likely that it's like smoke and mirrors. I mean, that's my words, not
You're
his.
right. Yeah.
And he put up these images of like basically, I think he was talking about how we used to understand the orbits and rotation of the Earth and the different planets around the sun or something, and how like there was originally this model that was like so confusing, and like the way they thought that the orbits worked was just this like bizarre, like a bowl of spaghetti, basically lines explaining the orbits. And then when we realized the heliocentric model, where it actually revolves around the sun, it just looked perfect and clear and parsimonious. And when he talked about the way they try to explain biological sex being a spectrum and like all of the uber convoluted things that they do, man, that was so good. I had didn't get to tell him like to his face, like that was so helpful. And I mean, it's like we all knew it intuitively, but the way he spelled it out was so good.
And
And
didn't
then
Richard Dawkins tweet about it the other day, that same
I
presentation?
saw that. Yeah,
It's
it's really cool to see. Is Richard Dawkins in touch with GenSpec now or something?
Oh no, God,
Oh,
we should have gone and stalked them. There's so much
yeah.
happening. It's so busy,
We should get him on our show. Or Benjamin, you should. We're now like dueling podcast hosts.
No, you can have Richard. I would get stuck in the atheism angle. You guys could just take
Okay.
the gender thing.
Okay,
Yeah,
that's
that's
really
fine. We'll let
interesting.
him know.
Yeah. I loved a lot of the talks. I mean, I loved hearing Jamie Reed's talk. It was just cool because there were so many different angles. Like Jamie Reed has such a different perspective on it, and she just talked about being part of the left and not giving up on the left. I mean, it was very powerful. And then you had somebody like James Lindsay, who was basically saying like the left is trying to like brainwash and communize our entire school system, like totally opposites. But it was cool to hear both presentations in the same place, and that's what made it so special. And that's what's so sad about the way things got overshadowed, is that actually it was so much dialogue and back and forth. And I mean,
Was awful. It was devastating,
yeah.
really. And Corinna Cohn gave a great presentation where
Oh
she
yeah.
asked people to rub their hand if they were left wing and to rub their hand if they were right wing. I thought that was a really good idea to just show that this is, this is not a left wing or a right wing. It was quite clear that it was both sides, that this was not a left wing or a right wing issue. I thought that was very powerful. She gave a very inspiring, sadly, speech about pulling together and how we needed to pull together and we needed to kind of, we needed, there was something really big happening and we needed to work together. And I was very moved by it. And so then afterwards, watching all of that just destroy over those few weeks in November, that was awful. It was
It
really awful.
wasn't destroyed because unless somebody is on Twitter and is part of that ideological group, all of those incredible presentations are on the internet now and they're being referenced. And so many people have shared things with me. Like, I'm sure being in the middle of it, you are bombarded with that kind of negativity. But I just want to say, as somebody who's kind of on the side, nothing was destroyed. Everything that Genspect has done is amazing and continues to grow. And I see you guys keep adding new people to the Genspect board. Like, I just don't want you to think that a couple of weirdos on Twitter have destroyed anything. Like, no offense
No,
to the
a couple,
weirdos on
a few
Twitter.
dozen weirdos, more like.
Yeah. But loads of them, there are so many of them are anonymous and like they're in places like Ireland. And I'm like, well, why are you anonymous in Ireland? Like, I live in Ireland. You don't need to be anonymous. You're not going to get sacked. Don't tell me anybody cares. You know what I mean? There's some countries, without a doubt, you need to be anonymous. But loads of them, oh, I couldn't. I fear for my life. What the hell? It just doesn't stack up. They do not need to be anonymous, but it helps to be anonymous because you can behave. I notice it when in any of those forums where everybody's anonymous, I'm rougher, I'm quicker, I'm not as nice as I am when the civilization of my name is put onto it. Do you
Oh,
know what
you
I
mean
mean?
when
I
you're
don't mean in,
anonymous?
yeah, when the, like, let's say Mumsnet, everybody's anonymous. So you end up kind of, would you say it much quicker and much rougher? Because it's just like you're just slinging it at them because, it's just another comment because you're anonymous. Well, if it's your own name, you put care into it and because you know that it matters because this is, you're reflecting yourself. I think anonymity is a terrible thing online. I think it's a key part of why online discourse is so revolting, is the anonymity. And I know the parents have to be anonymous. I get all that. Although I think less and less do they need to be anonymous. They certainly do if they're going to be trolling people, but not if they're just going to be, courteous and thoughtful and reflective. You know what I mean?
When kids say they're trans, what next? What happens? You guys
Well,
wrote a
I'll tell
book. This is
you.
what we were supposed to talk about this long time ago, but
There's a meme that explains the whole thing. We didn't even need the book because the meme exists now.
and they
It's a
just meme
mom
it.
in the 50s. It's a drawing, and the kid says, "Mom, I'm trans." And then the mom says, "Well, you're not, dear." And that's the end of the discussion. A lot of people believe it's that simple. Just say, "No, you're not, dear." And move right along. So you could just throw our book away and just find the meme on the internet, and that's the guidance that you need.
Is
You're
that true?
fine. No.
It's not true.
That's an actual meme because I remember when we had the debacle about the title of our book, then we'll get into it. It's Friday. I feel very casual right now.
All
But
right
we'll get to your question. But
on.
and also I just had a birthday. So I'm 42 now and I don't give an F. So I'm just letting it all hang out.
Natasha was born on the Feast of St. Bridget, which is a very big day for women in Ireland.
Oh, does it involve food and feasting?
It involves a goddess, and
Oh.
it doesn't involve food really. But
Oh.
I was just looking to see if I have my Brath Ag Brida, but it's not. But basically, you put out a white cloth out the night before the Feast of St. Bridget, which is the 1st of February, and then I don't know. When you bring it in the next day, that keeps you from
I don't know.
it keeps you healthy for the rest of the year. Anyway, I put my white cloth out and I am not sick today, so day one it's working.
Oh, you actually did it. That's so
Oh, I didn't.
cool.
I
Oh,
tend to
cool.
do the things that I want to
Yeah.
do with these traditions, but it's a big day. It's a goddess. She's the goddess of fertility and It's the first day of spring, and it's a big day, you know what I mean, for fertility and kind of womanness.
Oh,
It's a great day.
that's awesome. Well, I'm very proud to be having birthday on that day.
Well, you're
Well,
perfect for
the
this.
point is, when we were trying to figure out the title for our book, initially we had a title that displeased a lot of people. And that meme kept coming up again on the toxic platform of Twitter, aka X. People were basically saying, why do you need a whole book about this? All you do is tell the kid they're not trans. Like, oh, well, you clearly haven't met any of these kids and or the schools and or the doctors and or the therapists and or the peers or anybody else on the planet. So.
And the devastated parents who did say you're not trans, who did say everything, who did say you're getting off the internet, who did take their phones off them. You know what I mean? When you've met them, then you'll learn some manners around the thing and say it's actually not that simple. It's pretend it's simple. The parents are treated so badly because not only is their kid wrapped up in something that is really unhealthy, they get everybody saying, just parent the kid, just say no. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's really tough. But yeah, we did write a book. It's behind
What
Stella.
was our bad title? I can't remember it.
Is my child trans?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you're not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
But we were trying to point out that that's exactly what the parent is thinking. They're thinking, is my child trans? Like, could
Yeah. It's
be
like
like.
what they're Googling at night or whatever. And but we also are aware, like Stella was saying, for parents who have been going through this, they've also been bombarded with so much pro-affirmation messaging that we became aware that that title might put off a certain type of parent. You know, that there are lots of different parents in this. Some who are tentatively affirming because they believe it's going to destroy their child's authentic self if they don't. And so, like, for those parents, that title might have been really valuable. But there's a lot of other parents that are like, I know for sure, like, this is not right for my child. She came out with her other five best friends. Like, they were not trans until 5 minutes ago. I know my kid's not trans. So that title might have been a kind of put off the parents.
I like when kids say they're trans, but I hated the bad faith pile on around the first title, you know.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was unfortunate, you know.
Well,
Yeah,
part of
no.
it is the part of Stella, part of the reason you get maligned is because of status. There's a lot of different toxic things going on to make that environment toxic for you, but they go after Gen Spec because Gen Spec's actually doing something. They go after
Totally.
you because you're working your ass off.
No.
Like, you are just like one of the hardest working people I know. And you're slowly showing results. And people are like, oh, Gen Spec's going somewhere. Well, I'm just going to be on their board of advisors now. Now that they have cloud, I'm going to go in there and tell you guys what to do. This is what you should do. This is what your dress code should be. You know. But they're attracted to power. Like, and so there's part of that, you know. And Leslie got into a fight. I'm like, if you're not having fun, put the app down.
Good for you.
Like, if you know, like, if you're not having fun with these women, these feminists going after you, calling you all these mean names, she's an apologist for, you know, rape culture because she laughed at a joke, but you know, whatever she did. Like, and so many men and women and girls are being sacrificed for men, and
You're
I'm a
hand
part of that.
raping.
You know, I'm hand raping people, and you know, anyways. So if you're not having a good time, you can't take it seriously. You can't take it seriously,
No,
but
I don't. you have
You cannot
that, Ben.
take Twitter seriously.
Ben, you seem to have that ability. You seem to have such a, because I saw them calling you a creep and I was outraged on your behalf. I thought it was just such a, I think, like I said the other day, calling a man a creep, it's like calling a woman a slut. You've no answer to it. It's a
This
really
is a feeling,
malign thing. But
the
you
vibe.
seem to be as cool as a breeze around it. You seem to be having a laugh with it. I'm not having a laugh. I think it's awful and
Can
really
I
depressing.
share a story? Because I think this is kind of
Yes.
like relevant. So, okay, this is a New Orleans story, Stella.
Okay.
Can I share this
Okay.
story? Okay,
Yeah,
so
I don't
the
remember.
first time that Stella and Lisa Marciano and I met, we planned a trip to New Orleans. It was just for fun. We like barely did any work talk. We just spent time
Yeah.
together. And this really amazing thing happened. And I swear this is going to loop back to this conversation. So we were in New Orleans in a very kind of touristy part of town. And there was a little shop there. And it was like Madame So and So's shop. And you know, in New Orleans, there's the culture of like a little bit of magic, a little bit
That's
of
right.
voodoo,
Yeah.
you know, this mystical kind of thing. So the woman who ran the shop was very charming,
Yeah.
and she was interacting with every guest that walked in, and Lisa wanted to buy a candle from her. So we're in the shop, and I'm watching this interaction between Lisa and the woman go down. And Stella's browsing around. Like, I don't think you were watching it
No,
precisely as much as I was. So the woman does something super interesting. She starts asking Lisa, what does she do? And Lisa says, well, I'm writing my first book. This was right before Motherhood came out.
okay.
So the woman
I
starts
remember this, but I don't know
charming
where it's
her.
going.
Yeah, so the
What
woman
is
starts charming her and she's like, "Oh, you're going to be such a famous author." And like this is all happening while there's a transaction to purchase the candle.
Okay.
So Lisa gives the woman a 20. And the woman puts the 20 in the register. The candle's like $10, okay? And the woman gives Lisa a piece of paper and a pen and says, oh, will you sign this? Because you're going to be so famous one day. And I'd love to say that I knew you or whatever. So Lisa's like, oh, sure. You know, so she signs it. And Lisa's waiting for her change. And the woman is not giving her the change back. So I'm watching this totally amused. I'm amused by this. And
Yeah.
Lisa's waiting. And then eventually Lisa's like, I'm waiting for my change. And the woman tries again. She tries to distract her with something. And then finally, she gives her the $10 back. And I was like, oh, that was pretty clever. Like, I was impressed, A, by the woman's trickiness. And of course, Lisa was like right there with it. But I remember, Stella, you were so disturbed. You were so upset when you found out. Do you remember that?
I
You
do.
couldn't believe that she would kind of do this scam.
And I remember your eyes lit up. You were like, I think when you were a trickster, you were like, she was a trickster.
Yeah.
You were kind of excited and intrigued. Well, I was horrified. I was hurt. I was hurt for
Yeah.
humanity. Like, I really was.
And you
Yeah.
said something like, I used to own a shop
I
and I would
did.
get so upset if customers like
Yeah.
accused me of trying to rip them off or something.
Yeah.
So I guess all this to say that, like, when there's egregious behavior by anonymous people on the internet, like
Oh.
you're genuinely hurt and saddened. You're like
Yeah.
disturbed that people would do that. And I guess like I'm like, that person's not like not even real to me because their behavior is so outside the realm of anybody I'd ever want to be around that I'm just like I don't even see those people in a way.
Yeah,
I don't know
and
if
you
that makes
think
sense.
it does. And I'm going to remember that story because I remember we were outside the shop and you were intrigued and smiling and interested in the whole thing that had gone
And I
down.
was like, and then the paper, and then it was like the motion of the hands and the change. Like, I was fascinated by the whole thing.
Wow.
I was angry and upset and distressed and just hurt. I had nothing to do with it and I was hurt. Like,
Yeah.
sap. But you're like that, Benjamin, too. You're having a laugh by the looks of it. Anyway, you look like you're having a laugh with them.
Every once in a while, I get stressed out. Like with they're all coming after me, I get kind of stressed out because I can feel it. I can feel this negativity. Just like even when I'm not even looking, I'm like I'm keeping my phone over there, but I can just feel it for a while. But eventually, they go on to something else, you
You know
know.
what? One thing I feel a little bit strongly about, and I still feel strongly about, I could just back off. I could easily just not tweet. It's, you know what I mean? I don't have any massive. I'm not that interested in Twitter these days, but I don't do that because I don't like the idea of allowing all these gender critical people to live in their bubble that these people are not bullies. I'm like, no. I'm not going to slink away. I'm not going to allow all the people who are saying, just don't listen to them. They're fine. And I can see they're being friendly with people who are lying about me and smearing me and being horrible. And I'm like, I'm not going to slink away because that would make every life much easier for everybody else. And I'm not interested in doing that. There's a kind of a fundamental, I just think, nah, I don't want to allow that to happen. I think it's letting them away with it, you know, and I just think they're bullies, and I'm not going to
Like capitulate to them.
capitulate. No, so they're stuck with me.
Yeah, I did this, or I have this ongoing series of, or it's just a playlist. It's not really a series. I just named one playlist women, and I just like put whenever I interview a woman, like I just put it in there. It's up to like
Is that
300.
like your binder full of women? Is that like
It's my
the
Romney binder. That's what it is. I even
version?
married one of them. It actually fulfilled it, right?
What
I interview
Oh,
people and I
yeah.
had one fold. Oh, you don't know
She
Romney.
doesn't know
There was
about the
a
binder full of
oh.
women. It was a presidential candidate who was talking about, like, remind me, Benjamin, like that his staff is so diverse, and someone accused him of not having any women on his staff or something. He said, "Oh no, we have a binder full of women that we're gonna find
I
one
thought
or
you were talking
something."
about binders. I forgot.
Oh yeah, you can't
Oh.
say binder around us three
Oh,
without it getting
jeez,
confusing.
you guys.
In Ireland, we call it a folder.
A folder full of women.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry. So you have a playlist of women, a ladies' playlist. That
Yeah,
sounds like
greatest
red flag
hits.
territory.
What?
That sounds like red flag territory. That sounds
It's
like a
very
safe
red
kind of thing.
flaggy. It's not faggy, though. Anyways, no, you guys were just making me think of something that I was talking with Leslie about recently about she's been thinking a lot about beauty culture and wondering to what degree, and this would be a great question to have you guys open to what degree this trans masculine female thing is a reaction to previous iterations of beauty culture, you know, and what do we do with the losers kind of thing, so they become men or whatever it is. But it can go the opposite way where women can get really obsessed with their looks, you know, and like we have another ongoing argument where I have this pet theory that Kim Kardashian's actually an autogynephile. She's still a female. She's just in love with herself as a woman. And so she's making herself into a woman because that's where her love is of herself as a woman.
I like that theory, and I've thought of that theory before. And it's not even just in love with herself as a woman, it's an erotic obsession with her form. Yeah.
I think there's something there.
Yeah. It's and the w women who get a lot of cosmetic surgery, your woman, that Katie Price, her name was Katie Price Jordan, she was. She, in fairness, now she ruined herself. She just got so much surgery, but she was incredibly sexually charged and incredibly obsessed with her form as a woman. I've been thinking something about that, but I'll have to think of
And
another with an acronym.
Well,
well,
could keep going. Go keep going with your question because I have lots of thoughts
yeah.
about this.
No, yeah, okay. Well, we could stop at any time. I just to finish the thought, while I was listening to you two talk about this story and like your reactions to this story, I saw you both as little girls, like on a playground.
Oh.
I just saw like your spirits, you
Red
know, and
flag,
like
Stella, red
I know
flag.
this is weird, this is really pervy of
Safeguarding,
PD
safeguarding.
feeling. No.
Go
It's just
ahead.
like I when you really listen to people, when you really watch them and get to know them, you get
Yeah.
to see that there's these different selves to them,
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
like you can
yeah,
see, oh,
yeah.
she's in her girl, she's like she just becomes like a girl, she becomes a woman, or she becomes like a crone, you know, like there's this cycling kind of femininity. And so the trans or gender, one of the problems with the gender thing is this trying to concretize something that's, it is really fluid. Your gender is really fluid. You're cycling through these things, but it's not just like femininity. There's like different kind of ways that you focus on the world or that things make sense. Your personality becomes Like, I was just watching you, Stella. You're so righteous. You're like, you're not allowed to act that way. I can see this little girl. You can't act that way. We're not allowed to act that way. And Sasha's like, oh, look at the witch, you know, like, look at the witchy witch, you know, like this, these like really feminine things. And so, you know, and then I was just thinking about the playlist of just listening to women and just allowing women to talk. Hopefully to let these girls who are really worried about being a woman, just you can be looked, you can just see who what a woman is like over time, like especially when I get to interview people like you over and over and over again, like over time. And you get we're all kind of adults, so we're not really changing that
Kind of
much from one year
adults.
to the next. But when I interview like the detransition kids over the course of years, I'm going from when they're 20 to 25, and that's like a tremendous amount of development. So anyways.
There was a kind of a point there where I was thinking of something about the self-righteousness and things like that, and I think it's a very good point, but I also think that actually the section the behavior of a girl to a woman, it's we don't talk about it enough. For example, I've really watched, because I've got kids, the movement from a girl who will, and I don't want to be crude, but this is what happened. The girl who will, let's say, do a handstand or a cartwheel, and also these girls, they sit with their legs wide open, really wide open. Do you follow me? And it's very cool, and they're completely physically kind of, I'm not going to show you, but they're completely like, you know what I mean? And then I tracked it very closely in the last few years just to see, when does that go into this kind of, do you know what I mean? Where they would never sit with their legs open. And it was really noticeable to me that between the ages of around about 9 and 12, they just go in and they will never again sit with their legs wide open. So I think the girl, yeah, I think it's a big thing. I don't see many women sitting with their legs spread ever, unless they're maybe a lesbian. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's socially, it seems to be socially ingrained, but I think it's very interesting. When you think of that girl you were describing earlier, Sasha, who kind of walks like a man. And I was thinking when you were telling me, do you remember the girl you were talking about a few minutes ago when she walked like this when she tried to, I was thinking, I bet you she sits on the bus when she's being a man with her legs open. I'd love to kind of do it because I thought it was amazing that I seem so kind of cool about gender. And I don't have gender, you know, what are they called? Norms and stuff, and yet I don't sit with my legs spread, and I would find it very difficult to sit in company with my legs spread, just sitting there. You know what I mean? I think I would find that really hard to do mentally, you know.
I
Go
think
on, Tate.
I sit like that. I mean, my dad has been telling me you look like a construction worker since I was young. So I thought it had to do with my background in like dance and movement and like working out and stuff. Like I think it has something to do with that. But that is an interesting point. I mean, the way girls start taking up less space, and that's talked about a lot in kind of like the everyday feminism type of magazine like
I know.
stuff.
Man spread out.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not sure. I mean, what I'll say about your question, Benjamin, is when I've heard you and Leslie talk about this, she made this really interesting point that there's an uglification that a lot of the gender questioning girls are doing, which is very interesting. We talked about this in our retreat, how like it looks like sometimes these girls are trying to make themselves unattractive. And Leslie is saying maybe this is a way of just rejecting that female-female competition for beauty, which is one way of looking at it. And I also, I've been thinking a lot about this, and there's so much I want to say about it. I think that the desire to engage with beauty and beautiful things is not something that should be thrown out as though it in and of itself is a superficial thing. I think there's a risk of doing that. So I just want to be mindful of that like form and lines and color and shapes and beauty and things that are pleasant to look at are a very natural part of being human. They exist in nature, they exist in beautiful animals and birds and plants, and there's no reason that that should be stripped away from humans as well. So there's a risk in some of the kind of feminist argument that we will inadvertently kind of shame women or men for the desire to engage with beauty. Okay, but of course, when that be when beauty itself becomes a product to buy and sell, and it's treated as the most important aspect of a person, and it's like a commodity that you play up and play down so that you're acceptable to others, that's different. So I'm not sure like how to make sense of all this, but I do think that some of the gender girls that I have worked with and have consulted about, well, there's an interesting trajectory that could shed light on this, which is that they're usually very feminine naturally, and they go through a period right before the trans thing of trying really, really, really hard. They're like doing their makeup every day for hours on end, and they're doing their hair, and they're obsessed over outfits, and they emulate the popular pretty girls at school. And then something happens. Maybe they get bullied by a pretty popular girl, or somebody tells them that they're ugly, or something like that. And then all of a sudden, that aesthetic becomes the enemy. And they are like, I'm not playing this game anymore. I want nothing to do with this. And then, like, the normie cis girls become like the Antichrist, you know? And that's not true for all the kids. There's obviously a lot of gender non-conforming kids who never really cared about those, but there's definitely a type of girl who used to be obsessed with beauty and makeup and hair and all this stuff, and then goes the opposite direction, growing out my armpit hair, like making myself look as masculine as possible, binding my chest, huge baggy sweaters, my curves are gone, like all of that stuff. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think those girls, those particular girls you're talking about, they haven't tapped into their anger either. So they're quite compliant and very nice, and do you know, which is part of the whole trying so hard. And it must be a liberation to suddenly go, you know what I mean? It must be great for them. You know what I mean? It must be a great feeling for them. So it gives them plenty, and it's a pity that they. I do think we've living in a world which is extremely vain, extremely looks oriented, and it's got in on them. So therefore, they have to look like a man. They can't just be. You know, I think we underestimate how much vanity and beauty and looks are part of this whole thing. Nobody likes to say it. I said it right at the beginning when my film first came out. I said something like, "It's just looks." Well, the trans activists went insane. They went insane because I said it was just looks. And I often think back, thinking a nail on the head, yeah. It was about the looks. This is what people are after. This is, you know,
It's an
very, very,
aesthetic.
very strong determination to look a certain way, whether it's hair or stance or whatever.
Can I ask your professional opinions?
On you, Benjamin?
No, no, no,
You
no.
want us to
I'm
assess your
beyond. No,
looks?
I'm beyond. Oh
Do
yeah, God. Do you
you
like do
like this look?
you... I did shave right before we got on. I probably missed a few. Anger. I like what you brought up, Stella. You guys work with teens, right? Such your adolescents and parents, and Stella, you still is it it spread?
Teenagers and parents, more parents than teenagers, and yeah, but yeah.
What's anger
I
for?
like to see teenagers and non-gender as well, just to remind me of the culture, if you follow me. I just like to have just a couple, not, you know,
Okay.
don't work many days or anything, but just a little bit.
Yeah.
But go on.
Just a anger. What is that for?
What is that for? Why do they,
Yeah.
yeah.
What do we do with anger? I guess people direct anger at you, Stella. That's what we're talking about. Or you get angry, we get outraged and stuff. But like when I just the case study of that girl who was super girly, has to rebel. You know, there's a story that one of my friends told me about, like his stepdaughter. She was just arguing with them and arguing them with, and like just for like she all of a sudden she just started becoming really argumentative, and for like a year and a half she was just like, it was just impossible. And then one day she like comes out into their front room and says, "I think I've been an asshole this whole time." And then she goes back to her room and she's no longer being like that anymore, you know.
Whoa, that's amazing. How long did that last? The argue
I think he said like
our
it was,
argumentative phase.
yeah, well, yeah, I have
I
problem with
love
the N
it.
right now, but then like G,
It's
yeah.
okay. It's okay.
Well, I think if you're not angry, you're asleep, you know? I think there's so much to be angry about in this world
Yeah.
that it's the only sensitive response to an awful lot
Well,
that's
there's
coming
a
up.
cultural thing here too, because Stella, you are Irish. And there's
Yeah,
like
you
a
guys
fighting
love it.
Irish. I mean, it's there's something going on. It was like just a couple of months ago, you guys were burning down your whole country.
Don't know. You know, this fight in Irish, I kind of wish we were. I think sometimes that we once were, I think, you know, as a nation, we were colonized for hundreds of years, and we learned to be really quite I don't want to say sly, but we learned to kind of just nod to the man as we did our own thing. If you follow me, we learned to kind of, City Hall was just, you know, unbreakable. So kind of you navigate around it. And so I think our friendliness is our stronger trait now than the fighting Irish. You know, when we are fighting is when we're drinking, if you follow me. So it's coming out. So it's very much like the trans girl. You know, she's identifying as trans. You're real nice and friendly, and come on in, and I'll be really nice with you. And then a few drinks, I never liked you. Do you know what I mean? Well, this girl that we were talking about, me and Sasha, so arguably they're very nice, and then you get them into the therapeutic context, and they're seething about different people, if you follow me.
Yeah.
It's the same
Well,
thing. It's, you know, lifting the veil.
yeah, I mean, anger, the function of anger is that it helps us recognize when we have been treated poorly and gives us the energy. I mean, anger as an emotion comes with a lot of energy to defend ourselves, to take action. Sometimes anger can propel us to kind of meaningful steps, behaviors that take a lot of effort, you know? So anger has a very important function. And what I've noticed is that a lot of the kids who we're talking about, not only do they struggle with anger, but they don't like feeling angry. For some reason or another, they're like, I
Yeah.
don't want to be angry. I don't like having that feeling. I don't let myself have anger. I've heard that a lot in therapy. So there's a real difficulty here when there's a kind of a core emotion that is just a natural part of being a mammal that is disallowed in the person. And, you know, I don't want to derail the conversation. I'm starting to, generally speaking, I'm starting to have some skepticism and doubt about a lot of psychological theories that are just floating about out there, taken at face
Really?
value. So, yeah, lots. Like, I'm really going through something. And
Huh.
luckily, Stella and I seem to both be, because, like, we both, like, secretly were like, some of that therapy is bullshit. Like, I
Yeah.
don't know about a lot of this stuff. But I do know that, at least in my experience working with clients, if you can allow yourself to feel your emotions, they help you clarify what to do next. But if you tell yourself, every time I get angry, I'm bad, I'm terrible, I have to figure out how to stop myself from feeling this way, that's probably not going to lead you in a positive direction. I mean, there are times when stoicism is the best approach. I don't think you should let your emotions loose like a cannon everywhere and in all contexts. But if you have a lifelong pattern of not ever allowing yourself to be mad, even when someone treats you really terribly, you're going to be meek and passive and not know how, and then you're going to go crazy on Twitter is what's going to
Often those girls might be kind of go, no, I don't mind. No, I didn't mind. No, I didn't mind.
Yeah.
No, it was fine. Actually, I just look positively at things, so it's fine. But I often ask them, now, the geniuses that listen to you, Benjamin, will correct me. So I'm happy to be corrected, because I know In the comfort of my own office, I can say to teenage girls this mismangled quote, but now I'll bring it to light. I often ask them, I say, somebody like Nietzsche said, are you nice or are you just scared? If you follow me. And I like discussing that with them, but I've no idea where I got that
That's a
quote or
great
who said it. I
question.
think Nietzsche said it. It's kind of Nietzsche-esque.
A guy named Benjamin Boyce once asked,
Who
are
would I
you,
ask?
you know,
Are you
I
nice?
love it. Are
Are you
you
nice or
nice
are
or
you
just
just scared?
scared? That's
You're
a
just
good
scared.
question.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because they're generally just scared. They want to be popular. It's they're not as nice as they want to be.
Yeah. Well, that makes me think of a lot of. It's just this thing that I see a lot, and it's coming from. I think it's coming from the UK, but I'm not really sure. But people like in the GC community, they're like, "Be kind." Like they say like they're being told to be kind all the time, like and they're rebelling against being kind in the way. It's like they're
There's
shadow
an
boxing. I don't see what they're fighting with, but I know they keep on fighting against this
this
cultural
thing.
demand to be kind.
I
It's
know.
like.
I know. I do think, I mean, and I feel kind of bad because maybe some people really grew up with these messages, but I do think whenever you are part of some kind of social justice movement, you have to have the enemy that you're fighting against. And I do hear certain phrases repeated a lot amongst a certain type of feminist that, like, women are always told to be kind and women are done this and this and that. And there are probably certain
Yeah.
places and times and families or specific, where
Yeah.
that's true. But for the most part, I don't know what they're talking about sometimes. It's like a kind of a phantom enemy that I think I'm going to get so skewered for this. But generally speaking, if you are a teenage girl in most normal American cities right now, you're not being told to be kind. Like nobody really, well, sometimes in the social justice world, I'm arguing with myself. So I'm like, but sometimes in the social justice world, there is like a love is love, just be kind to everyone. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, I've got a teenage girl, so I'm in Ireland, and like she's so into this. Like you can hear the way they're talking. You go, girl. You don't take any shit. You go. And the boys are there like, do you know what I mean? So, but there's a dichotomy because clearly, from the way they're telling me what's going on in school, there's another type of boy who I'm not meeting. Who is really pretty obnoxious and in their face. So I'm not meeting that boy. He's not allowed into our house. And it's very girl powery. But there it's I think there's a schizophrenic kind of message that there is sassy talk and go. And yet they're really looking at their looks and they're putting a lot of effort into looking nice. And I think it's very disjointed and no
And
wonder their brains get
if they
scrambled.
say anything about trans or gender or race or Israel Palestine, like they're bad people. So there is a weird, like, a badass bitch, you go girl thing. But at the same time, you have to have all the right opinions about every single other topic.
And look very beautiful, no matter when or where. Like, you know what I mean? So it's no wonder their brain gets scrambled. It's very, very
But do they
complex.
have to look very beautiful? Are you sure? Do you think?
Maybe it's just the crowd that I'm seeing. Just they seem to be so vain. I'm like, wow, do you ever stop talking about your looks? You're gorgeous. Oh, I love the way you do
Well, I mean, when we were in Killarney, it was the weekend, and they had like the party, and all the boys like showed up with their really loud, obnoxious cars, and all the girls like had like their plastic wrap dresses like flopping all over the place. But maybe that was just
was
a.
no stereotypical behavior at
It
all.
was so trashy and so gender in your face. It's hilarious that what was it, the EU path, like the transgender, they had that there, like. And then we had that, you guys had, the Genspect had that there too. It was very.
I was at the mall the other day and we were just walking around, and then there was a group of teenagers, and I thought it was a costume party or something at first because all the girls were literally wearing like dresses that were like just barely covering their nipples and like so short. And I thought it was like some sort of a performance or something. And then I realized it's just a bunch of teenagers. And I keep saying to myself when I see those scenes, so I guess I'm debating myself out loud as we talk, but I say, no wonder girls are gender dysphoric. Like, how are you going to exist like that? It's so insanely ridiculous. It's such a
Parody.
hyperbolic trope of not even like a kind of innocent, pretty femininity with like a long, flowy dress. It's like straight up like prostitution gear. So I get why there's so many dysphoric girls. And then I see other kids in the mall that are like wearing these ginormous pants and they have like ugly green hair. And I'm like, okay, I get what you're doing, actually. I get it. It's really hard.
Well, they have to stand out. It's crude in a certain sense. The girl who's rebelling against femininity is doing it crudely, just as the girl who's embracing her femininity, she's doing it crudely. Like, they're playing with forms.
Exaggerations. These are all exaggerations. Yeah, I think you're
They
right.
have
They.
that. There's about 13 years old, 14 years old girls. They go to discos. You were laughing at that, Sasha. You said it's like something from 1970s or something in Ireland. They go to discos, but they wear extremely, like you said, tiny dresses. And the only good thing about it, like it's crazy. And I'm there always saying, look at the boys with their lovely jeans and hoodies, and the girls in the Irish weathers and looking blue with the cold.
I know.
But one lovely thing that has come in is they all wear runners. And I remember they used to always wear really high heels, and they were horrible to wear, and they were so sore. Now they're all wearing runners. So thankfully, one thing has happened. But it's unbelievable how sexualized it is and how exposed those girls must feel when they wear those dresses. They go from being ordinary girls with ordinary clothes to they hit 13 and you're going out on a Saturday night and nobody's ever seen their body. And then suddenly, bang, go on then. They must feel like they're naked in front of the town. Like, it must be extremely difficult to expose yourself on that level the way they do. It's really, 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 really sexualized. Tiny, like you say, tiny dresses. Yeah, I wouldn't fancy it.
I mean, I have to say, like, I worked in bars and I kind of had a crazy nightlife. And when I look back at, it took time to figure out what to do growing up, figuring out like what does it mean to have a female body and to be, to care about my appearance, to want to look good, but also figure out like, well, what is my actual aesthetic and style? And I look back at some photos of crazy stuff that I used to wear and I can't believe that I wore it. And at the time, I don't even know if I felt that exposed. I think I was just a little bit like oblivious and also just thinking, this is what it means to like look good. I don't know. And I think different like subcultures also promote like the nightlife culture for sure. People wear very skimpy clothing.
Because I remember, like, when you wore certain clothes, you just got so much attention from the moment you left the house. Just everybody. It was just so relentless. And then another night, you might just think, nah, I'm wearing a big jacket. And I have not the energy for that. But I remember I was a street trader for years. So, I was selling things on the street in Dublin. And I learned to have a certain face. It was kind of like a mask of kind of,
Resting bitch face like that.
bitch face. Because if I didn't have it, creeps would come up to me all day. It was just, if I didn't put on the kind of, and kind of hunch, if I didn't, you just got it all day, all day. Ah! And they were creeps, proper
Oh,
creeps.
yeah, I believe it.
And so it was a real lesson that you kind of had to put on your mask. For me, I really learned that. So yeah, that was tedious.
It takes a lot of work actually just to deflect men's attention as a woman. Like it's like a really it takes
Exhausting.
skill and emotional attunement with yourself, and it takes strategy and learning. Like, and 15-year-olds don't know how to do it.
And they get angry. The men get angry with you because you don't
Oh
smile and
yeah.
say
Oh
thanks. They get
yeah.
angry with
Yeah.
you. So
When
they
I
say something creepy to you, and you just go, and they go, "What's wrong with you? Who do you think you are?" They go straight
Yeah.
in, like, "Yeah,
Huh.
it's horrible."
I remember when I was working in the bars, I started as a cocktail waitress and then eventually I started bartending. And I had so many invasive questions from men every single night. How old are you? What do you do? Do you have a boyfriend? What are you studying at school? Like, just always, always questions. And I was always trying to be kind of like, you know, because you're there in the service industry, so you're there to, you know, entertain customers and blah, blah, blah. And I started feeling really, really overwhelmed. I actually went to therapy because of this. I was in graduate school at the time. And what I came to discover through therapy is that I couldn't answer people's questions anymore and still feel like I had my privacy. Like it was an invasion of my privacy all the time. So I made a rule and I told customers, I have a rule at my bar. I'm allowed to ask you questions, but you're not allowed to ask me questions. And people kind of found it fun, like, oh, she's playful, you know, like that kind of thing. But it really helped to kind of not make me feel so vulnerable, so raw, so like visible. And I mean, I was in my mid-20s and it took like therapy to think through how am I going to deal with this super invasive job. So I can only imagine as a kid, also your teenagers are bombarded by like DMs and stuff by random strangers. And the kids literally think they have to be nice and answer everyone who DMs them. And they're literally asking for boob pics. So like, I cannot even imagine being 15 or 16 now on social media.
And saying, no, creep, I don't want to send you a nude because I think I'll get into a little bit of trouble, but you're really nice.
I thought we were friends. I can only imagine the creepy, manipulative things that these guys say. I can't even imagine.
Poor little chickens.
Boundaries.
Yeah, but it's not easy. It's not easy.
Well, we don't want a society. Well, I don't know. This is the safeguarding question, I guess, because to what degree is it good for society that we put boundaries on the youth? Like we impose boundaries on them. You can't wear that. You can't go here. You have a curfew, right? To what degree do we want that? To what degree say, okay, you're going through a period where you still need some guardrails or guidelines, but we're going to give you a little bit more. But just like plunking a kid into the Wild West, let alone the internet.
I don't know because I went on holidays with the kids. It was Portugal actually last summer, and I remember me and the kids were going off on a, what do they call those electric scooters, and my daughter who was 15 suddenly wanted to wear a big hoodie, and it was a hot day in Portugal, and I was like, no, this is so hot, don't. And then I realized, because she kind of looked at me and she said, okay, right, you know, yeah, I won't wear the hoodie, you know what I mean, yeah, it is hot, like she, you know, she was convinced by me. And I realized the looks, the relentless looks, every second we were out I could see why she wanted to wear a very hot heavy sweat hoodie in the middle of a summer's day. That isn't right. That's awful.
Is that across the board, Sasha? I guess you brought this up too. It's like you just have to navigate the attention of men. Men are just out there on the street wanting to wave at you, but
It's
doing it with
more
their eyes.
hand rapers. No, it's more,
Well,
it's the
it is funny that you say that because if I was 13 and an adult man waved at me from across the street, I would feel super confused and violated and scared. I'd probably be literally scared. But at 42, if a man waves at me from across the street, I'll just be like, hey, buddy, like, how's it going? Like, I won't care at all. So context, you know, context matters. And we can't treat the world as though every single woman in the world is as vulnerable and confused and naive as a 13-year-old. And on, you know, on the other hand, how do you help? You also don't want to normalize behavior that is not appropriate for a 13-year-old on a 13-year-old. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
I think like waving at anybody across the street is generally okay, thank God. But the thing is, these creeps, you men wouldn't know it, what they do. You know what I mean? I remember I was walking across O'Connell Bridge and I was about 13, And this man just came up behind me and he just started feeling my arse. And I was walking across the bridge and it was like, I was so young. How do I stop them? Like
Yeah,
everybody's around,
it's
everybody,
so
what the hell?
scary.
And he
I
was just,
know.
you know what I
Yeah.
mean, walking along. And I said, stop. And he's like, no, you're looking the part. And I said, no,
Oh.
stop. And yeah, it
Oh.
was awful. And I didn't know how to say, fuck. Now, over the years, I
Yeah,
learned,
yeah.
get away. But the first time it was like, what the hell is happening? I'm
Yeah.
blocked up front of everybody. It's hard to explain that that is not easily navigated.
No, men like that are serial harassers. Like,
Totally.
these are not normal men. Like, that happened to me once in the bar, and this guy was like, he had a whole strategy of how he was gonna grope me, and it
He
was
was.
not the first time, and I'm sure it wasn't the last. And he was escorted out by security, and like, that was the only time in something like 7 years in the bar business that anyone did anything like that. But those men are serial creeps, and they go around like finding ways to do that. So,
He
you know, there's
spotted
like a
me.
stat about like the like violent crimes and sexual crimes are committed by like a small percentage of the male population, but they commit like 90% of the crimes or whatever. I don't remember the stat, but like that makes perfect sense to me that this guy who did that to you, he had done that probably 1,000 times. And I
Well, did you
think
ever think about training your daughter how to fire a pistol and just have her close carry or conceal carry?
no, that's your crazy country where they
She ever
have
gets
guns
groped, you just like
like
she
something out
said,
of the cowboy
you're
land.
you'll
What
lose your hand
the
if you touch me there, Sonny.
hell? Yeah, in
Yeah.
Ireland, that's exactly how they talk, Benjamin.
I don't know. Get your marshmallow, whatever, not for me. I don't know. I need talk, but angrily.
To her for 2 hours. What do you mean, how
I
do you
know. Could
talk?
you do your angry thing, Stella, again?
My angry thing.
Yeah, could you just get irate so I can understand how to
I can't. I just need
impersonate
to draw
you?
the
She's
line.
too nice. She's
Yeah,
too
angry.
nice. Be too nice. Too
I
nice.
think I have to go pretty soon here.
Okay. All right.
Oh.
We're just
Oh.
getting
Oh.
started. I
Yeah.
know.
Oh, it has been an hour and a half.
I
Jeez.
had a pint.
I know. That would be fun.
It feels very pinty. Like, this has felt like such a fun conversation. This
That's
really
so
makes me miss
funny.
being together with you guys.
That's so funny because
Yeah.
I was half thinking of texting in the kind of in the start of it or kind of early start. I was going to text him
Yeah.
and say, bring me up a beer. And I
Yeah,
thought, maybe
totally.
I shouldn't.
So I did want to tell the audience, Sasha, that you were at one conference and I was doing some video editing of these different panels and stuff. And I've been in several rooms with you now, like at these conferences. And
Yes.
you have this, what my wife Leslie calls this therapist thing, where you're re responding emphatically. Oh, really?
It's
You
also
know?
because I'm Egyptian. We like cannot shut up.
Oh,
That's part
okay.
of
It's like
that.
the black person at the movie theater. It's just like it's a part of being. But it's funny
Totally.
because whenever you're on a
I can't
panel,
stop talking or nodding.
the mic is moving closer and closer to you. You start to hear Sasha's voice gets a little bit louder, a little bit louder, a little bit. Oh. You know, you're just like
Yeah,
really engaged.
I think it's partially therapist, partially like I've been loud since I was a kid. Like my parents have always just been like, shh, Sasha, everyone can hear you. Like that's me. And then it's also maybe a bit of cultural. I'm a restless woman.
No, you're Sasha.
Yeah.
You're named after some Russian hero.
From Dr. Zhivago,
Oh,
the
I must watch
movie,
that. I've
the
never seen
film,
it.
the film,
It's a beautiful
the
film.
film.
Beautiful film.
It is a beautiful film.
So what's next on the roster for Gender A Wider Lens?
Oh, we've got
And
a
what else you
bride.
guys got slotted for 2024? And then we'll let Sasha go
We've got a
do her
very full
thing.
schedule, really, with some really great people lined up. And we
Yeah.
moved to Substack, which is a bit of an
Yeah.
event. And, you know, we've got a great team now. It feels like we're really getting into full throttle now, doesn't
Yeah.
it?
Does. It really
Yeah.
does. I'm very excited about this season. We have So many great guests coming on, and I mean, I feel tempted to say, but I just will just let it be. But we have some really exciting conversations coming up, and you know, Stella and I were just talking about how like my energy for gender kind of waxes and wanes, but I'm pretty super energetic right now, so
Oh,
I'm really
cool.
excited.
Yeah.
One thing nice though for this year is we've written the book that we wanted to write. And that we needed to write, and that we wanted to be able to point to parents. And I was afraid that once we wrote the book, when kids say they're trans, I was afraid that we'd forget something massive and think, oh, we've got to get it into the second book. But that hasn't happened. It's out now a long time, and it's like, no, it's standing up well. It's out for a few months now, and it's
Oh,
like I can
cool.
point people to the book, and it's like finally, it's almost a talisman, like it's there. You can read the book. You know, it's something tangible that parents can hold. And I think I'm really, really, really glad that that book is written
Me
and
too.
out. I really am, just as a kind of monkey off my back from all those awfully sad emails, that we have something to give them now, you know?
Yeah.
And now you're a published author, Sasha.
I know. Thanks to Lisa and Stella, who like made me do it. Otherwise, I don't think I would. But yeah, it is really exciting. And I'm really proud of the book. I'm really, really proud of it. Yeah.
Cool.
And
Do you guys have
I
any
think there
more?
are little things we would probably, I mean, there's always like, I mean, the book could have been like 900 pages, you know, but like we just had to decide, okay, this is good enough for now. But it is really good.
And any workshops or retreats coming up?
We are going to be doing something this summer, probably sometime in June. We're getting the details of that squared away now, so please stay tuned.
Hopefully it'll be a good year for gender. Everything about it looks like the world is really waking up now. It's a different world.
It takes a while. Wilfred Riley said you have to give normies about 2 years to catch up. Like somebody's going to
Two.
call attention to something, whatever it is, like whatever, like kind of out there thing. So probably it takes a while for that person to, or that issue to hit Bill Maher or New York Times or whatever it is that whoever like us allows us to think the way that we're allowed to think.
It feels like a slog because we've been in this for a long time. So I'm
Yeah.
like, 2 years from when? Because we've been
Yeah. And at what
trying to
point?
talk about this for a long time. But I hear you. 2 years from some point.
Well, yeah. It does feel like we're in a different realm anyway. We're di in a different chapter.
I think so.
I must have talked to you 5 years ago then, Sasha.
Really?
It must have
Probably.
been like 2019.
Wow.
You were my first interview.
It was 2024. I'm like, you know what? This girl's going places. And then you were on
Yeah, you
Megyn
told me. You
Kelly.
were like, you could do things with your life, kid. He gave me
I
a punch
remember.
on the shoulder and said, you're going places,
You
kid.
go out there.
I remember the first time Benjamin in he interviewed me, and I really wasn't very up on America or cultural things in America at all. It just was not something I was zoned in on ever. It was just over there, like you would be to Ireland. And you said something like about, well, you know, the race thing, and I kind of got involved in the race, and I was like, is that still a problem in America? And you were like, what is this thing? I was like, really? Your face was like appalled. It's like, what the hell?
Well, that's what Benjamin was famous for before
I
gender.
know. So she get back into a race.
Was like, what's on
I
this
just spit everywhere. I should get back into causing problems in the world of race. I mean,
Yeah, that's what
really, you
I
have nothing
yeah.
better to do, Benjamin, than
Oh no, it's good
torment
content.
questioned him. I was like, maybe it is, like, whatever you say, you freak, but
Don't know. You guys got some backlash from the summer of Floyd too. Maybe that was just in London, though.
London is a very multicultural city. Ireland is very, well, you've been to Ireland, you can tell me.
I loved Ireland. It was really cool. There were sheep there. I mean, you may not have had a lot of minorities, but you had a lot of sheep.
More sheep than people in Ireland.
I
Oh,
believe
really?
it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Cool.
tasty. Wonderful. Well, thank you,
Should I
ladies,
hop
both
off?
very
Can I hop
much.
off? Or
Yeah,
Gabe,
we can
hang
go.
around.
We'll go.
Bye
You
bye.
guys have a good night.
Okay.
Love
Bye,
you both.
guys. Bye.
Ciao.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Have a good night, weekend.